Manchester, England, 2006. Sometimes life takes the best and worst it has to offer and throws the whole lot at you on the same day. This probably isn't an uncommon conclusion to reach during childbirth, but in my case, it wasn't the usual cocktail of pain and joy that led me to it. It was that, although I was finally about to meet the tiny human who'd shared my body for 9 months, those 8 agonizing hours were also spent trying to reach his father on my mobile, to drag him away from whatever bar, club, or other woman he was in. "Did you remember to bring your notes, Jessica?" the midwife asked after I'd arrived at the hospital alone. "I've got my notes. It's my boyfriend I've mislaid," I said, through an apologetic smile. She glanced up at me from under her eyelashes as I leaned on the reception desk of the delivery suite, waiting for the searing pain in my belly to pass. "I'm sure he'll be on his way soon." Sweat gathered on the back of my neck. "I've left him a couple of messages." 12, to be exact. "He's at a work event. He probably can't get a signal." At this stage, part of me was still hoping this was true. I always was determined to see the good in Adam, even in the face of clear evidence to the contrary. "We never used to have men here," she reminded me. "So if we need to do it without Dad, we'll be just fine." Dad. I couldn't deny the biological facts, but the title sounded wrong when it was applied to Adam. The midwife looked reassuringly matronly, with stout legs, a bosom you could stand a potted plant on, and the kind of hair that had been in foam curlers overnight. The name on her badge was Mary. I'd known Mary for about 3 minutes and I already liked her, which was good, given that she was about to examine my cervix. "Come on, lovely, let's get you to a room." I went to pick up the overnight bag that the taxi driver had helped me with, but she swooped in and took the handle, staggering under its weight. "How long are you hoping to stay?" she hooted, and I did my best to laugh until I realised another contraction was on its way. I stood in mute agony, screwing up my eyes, but determined not to be the woman who terrified everyone else by screaming the place down. When the pain subsided, I slowly followed Mary down the overlit corridor, pulling out my phone to check again for messages. There were a dozen texts from my mum and Becky, my closest friend, but still none from Adam. It wasn't meant to be happening like this. I didn't want to be on my own. No matter how worried I'd been about our relationship in recent months, right then I'd have done anything to have him with me, holding my hand and telling me everything was going to be all right. I'd discovered I was pregnant the day after my 22nd birthday. Even though it wasn't planned, I'd convinced myself in the 9 months that followed that I'd be a confident mum. That suddenly felt like a fragile bravado. "All right, dear?" Mary asked as we arrived at the door of the labour room. I nodded silently, despite the real truth. Even in her capable hands, I felt alone, terrified and certain that this feeling would continue until Adam arrived to do his brow-patting, hand-clutching duty. The room was small and functional, with thin pattern curtains that gave it the air of a dated travelodge. The sky outside was the colour of treacle, black and impenetrable, a pearlescent moon reclining into the shadows. "Hop on," said Mary, patting the bed. I followed her directions to lie back and open my legs. She then coolly declared, "Going in," before manoeuvring her hand up my unmentionables as my eyes popped and I lost the ability to breathe. 4 centimetres dilated. She straightened up, smiled and snapped off her latex glove as the contractions started building. "You're in labour, Jessica." "Exciting," I replied. Too polite to mention that this didn't feel like a revelation, I'd already christened my kitchen floor with amniotic fluid hours earlier. "The best thing to do is get on the birthing ball and let gravity help us out. I'm going to check on the lady next door, but don't hesitate to use your call button. Is there anyone else who could join you? A friend? Or your mother?" Becky didn't live far, but Mum was always the only choice, as humiliating as it had been to call and explain that Adam was AWOL. "I've got my mum on standby. If I haven't heard from my boyfriend by 2 a.m, she's going to drive over.
Excellent, she said,
before leaving me alone with my half-formed space hopper, an iPod full of Jack Johnson songs, and a gas and air machine that I'd forgotten to ask how to use. I called Mum on the dot of 2. She arrived at 6 minutes past, in slim-legged jeans and a soft linen blouse, the whisper of Estee Lauder Beautiful clinging to her neck. She was carrying a massive gym bag, which contained her last-minute birthing kit. This consisted of a compact video camera, a goose-down pillow, a tube of toothpaste, a copy of Woman and Home, some Neal's Yard hand cream, a bunch of grapes, 2 large Tupperware boxes containing a selection of recently baked cakes, some pink towels, and, I kid you not, a cuddly toy.